Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host for beginning of the week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful and restful week and an opportunity to celebrate the Lord's Day and to make that radical decision to be countercultural and to set aside a day, the day under the command of the Lord, to be with Him, to be fed by Him, to be renewed and strengthened by Him, to commune with the people of God and to give God right worship, to give Him the recognition and the acknowledgement of what belongs to Him, and to offer our hearts to Him together, collectively, worship and praise, and to say yes to the offering of His Son. That's the heart of what's going on in the liturgy. It's both hearing the words of Jesus in the Scriptures, the words of God teaching us, leading us, feeding our minds, and guiding us. And then, of course, it's participating in the representation of the one act that has saved the world, the death of Jesus Christ on Calvary, the shedding of His blood when He disarmed the principalities and powers and made it possible for human beings to be saved and to be healed, to be set free, to have our sins forgiven, and to be united to God, to become one with the Son in His relationship with the Father. So we have the privilege of coming together, forgiven sinners who come together, and we say yes to the Father. We say thank you. We praise the Father for the gift of His beloved Son, Jesus. And we acknowledge that that deed of love is what has saved us personally, collectively, and it's the hope for the world. God the Father's offering of His beloved Son, Jesus, who was delighted to do it. I don't know if that's the best way to say it, but delighted to lay down His life for us because He loved the Father first and He loved us. Loved moved Him, and so much of what's revealed about the center of human life, the meaning of human life, the most fundamental meaning of human life is communicated right there on Calvary in Jesus giving His all for us and speaking to us with His whole being, that the foundation of everything is God and God's love, and that human fulfillment and our whole destiny is tied up in being in communion with God. And that is walking with Him, saying yes to Him, and living by His commandments and honoring Him and doing whatever He calls us to do. And to literally belong to Him, to give our lives to Him. It's such a beautiful, beautiful thing. And it's countercultural. It's radical. We believe in the unseen, that the unseen is just as real or more real than what we can see and touch. We love science. We love the capacity to touch what's material, to understand it, to dive into it, to learn from it. But we know there's a whole nother reality behind it that science can't even touch. This is the dimension of faith. And faith isn't just blind in the sense that it doesn't have any grounds, right? We have a ground of faith. Our faith is grounded in because of God's revelation to us and ultimately because of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Yesterday, the church gave us a reading. The second reading at Mass was taken from Hebrews chapter 11, and it's a reference to Abraham. Now, that whole chapter is the chapter of faith. It recounts the story, the journey of many of the patriarchs in the Old Testament, and how they demonstrated for us what it meant to be a pilgrim, nomads of faith, those who said yes. And of course, Abraham is the quintessential model from the Old Testament of faith. So I wanted to read the passage today, and just as I read it, just think about your own life. First, think about Abraham and how radical his decision, the decision he made to trust the promises of God. He was the first one who God came to and revealed Himself to and called him out of everything that he understood and knew, everything he himself had created for his life, the whole life he had built for himself, his family, his tribe, his clan, his lands, his animals, everything. God calls Abraham to pick it all up and to follow Him and to go to a place, to sojourn to a place that God had made for him, a land of promise, which Abraham didn't even know where exactly that was. And God gave promises to Abraham, and Abraham decided to say yes. I mean, he built his whole life on the promises of God. That's the point here. That's the point of the story we're going to be hearing about today. And that's what each of us are called to take home, to take to heart, that what it means to be a follower of Christ, to be a disciple, is that we build everything, in our life. Our entire lives, our whole enterprise on the promises of God. As Father Francis Martin used to say, faith is to live in such a way, in relationship to God, to lean on Him in such a way that if He wasn't there, you'd fall flat on your face. It's not in a place of sitting in a place of security and comfort and having a kind of intellectual assent alone. No, it's abandoning everything. Your whole life, your mind, your will, your heart, your time, your talent, your treasure, everything, I'm betting on the promises of God. And so Abraham is our father in faith, and in that way he's, again, the quintessential model. He says, chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old received divine approval. By faith we understand that the world was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made out of things which do not appear. So, faith first is an assurance. As I was saying, it's the assurance that the one I've encountered is real, he's great, he's mighty, he's able, he's good, he's trustworthy, and he never lies. And so the assurance is a yes to the one who calls us. It's built on an assurance and a confidence. And it's confident of things we don't see, as the passage mentions. We don't fully yet see who God is. We have some revelation of God opening his life to us through the scriptures, through the story of the people of Israel, ultimately in the person of Jesus and the life of the church. And it's related to the things that we hope for. We're a people of faith and we're a people of hope. And these two are very much related to each other. In one way, you could understand faith as the revelation of God. God reveals himself to us, and he reveals himself perfectly in his Son. God speaks to us and reveals his heart, his whole purpose, and his purpose for us and who we are in his beloved Son. We say yes to it, right? We say yes to what we see and what we hear. And so we begin a journey. But we also live with hope. Hope is what? The confident expectation that what we believe we shall one day possess. And what we believe is what we see in Christ and what we receive from him. That what he now possesses, reigning at the right hand of the Father in glory, as Son of God, now enthroned as King forever, with all power and authority, that the glory that he possesses in his position before the Father, we are heirs to Christ, heirs of this promise, that we now, our destiny, we have a destiny here on earth to fulfill God's plan and purpose for us and our mission here, each one of us, and we should lay hold of that as Abraham did. But we also have to look upward to our ultimate destiny and always live with heaven in our heart, in your heart, my heart, to have us where we're ultimately going and where it ultimately all leads, and we're betting our life completely on that. And so this is the beginning of the call in the journey for salvation. The passage goes on. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as his inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was to go. By faith, he sojourned in the promised land as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and maker is God. By faith, he received power to generate, even though he was past normal age, and Sarah herself was sterile. For he thought that the one who had made the promise was trustworthy. So it was that there came forth from one man, himself as good as dead, descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sands on the seashore. We can learn so much in just that short description of Abraham's encounter with God and his response to God. We learn a lot about God, or some things about God as well. When God decided to call a people, he had revealed himself first in nature. He'd obviously worked with Adam and Eve and the reality there and Noah and others, but the call to Abraham was the beginning of the building of a distinct people, of a family, of a spiritual family, a literal blood family, but a blood family that had a fundamental call on it. God called Abraham, revealing himself to Abraham, and then he gave him promises. He said that he was going to make him a father of a great nation, and his children, his offspring, would number as the stars of the sky and sands of the seashore. Now, who does God come to? He comes to a man who is far beyond the generating of children, right? Far beyond his years of when that normally happens. Men his age aren't able to do that, right? So then, not only that, but his wife, Sarah, is sterile. So a great miracle and a revelation of God's power is going to come through Abraham, because God's going to do what makes no sense to us and goes far beyond what science could tell us is possible. And he works a miracle. He creates a family, the foundation of his work, his profound work that culminated in the person of Jesus and building the spiritual family that Jesus sires. Right? He's a life-giving spirit. So Abraham allows God to reveal his heart by confounding his mind. Because Abraham would say, well, what sense does that make? How can I be the father? I can't generate family any longer. How am I going to be the father of a great nation? I'm an old man, and I've already lived most of my life, and I've built my foundations and put my stakes down, and you're telling me to leave everything that I'm familiar with and to sojourn to a land where I'm not even sure where I'm going. So I'm going to go back and tell the entire clan what we're going to do, that I had a revelation from God, first of all, and he told me some things that are outrageous. Wait a minute, people. Can you imagine when he told his clan, told the people what the plan was, what God's plan was? First, that he was going to be the father of a great nation, number one, and number two, that he was going to go to a land of promise and they were to pick up stakes and to follow him as he followed God. And when they asked him, okay, where exactly are we going? He said, I don't know. We just have to go. We have to trust. We have to follow. We have to stake everything on God, on God's power, on God's goodness, on God's greatness, and the fact that he's utterly able to accomplish everything that he commands us to do, and he's totally trustworthy. You see, the whole God's work of building a family and revealing himself and the nature of the relationship that he wants with the human race and where the path of salvation will lead and the way in which God desires us to relate to him, it's on the basis of faith. It's on the basis of this radical trust and surrender. Friends, God has called you if you're baptized into him. He's got promises that you can stake your entire life on. Jesus said, I will be with you always until the end of the age. Each one of us has a mission, a plan, and a purpose in this world. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They know me. They understand it. So when I call them, they come. When I send them, they go. Our whole life is meant to be built on that relationship, which is grounded in a profound assurance, a yes that's rooted in a profound, unshakable trust, and that has a light before it, not only the light of faith, but the light of hope and confidence that we're going to reach our ultimate destiny. Hope you can tune in tomorrow, friends. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.